If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Marty. I'm the students pastor here and get to work with middle school and high school students, and so thankful to be with you. If you're new or just joining us, we're in a series right now called Only Jesus, and we're looking at the miracles of Jesus. And in this series, we've seen that what made Jesus so special wasn't only the things that Jesus taught or what he said, although that's incredibly important, but also who Jesus is and what he did. And we've seen that every miracle that Jesus performed showed that Jesus was God and that he was the one who did things that God promised to do and connecting us back to God through Jesus and healing our soul. And the miracle that we're gonna look at this morning is that only Jesus walks on water. Only Jesus walks on water. Now, tucked away in the Old Testament, there's this verse in the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 8, that speaking of God, Job says that he alone stretches out the heavens and treads upon the waves of the sea. In other words, God alone can walk on water. But in the miracle that we're gonna read about this morning, Jesus walks on water, showing that Jesus is God. But what makes this miracle so unique is that not only does it show that Jesus is God, but that Peter, through faith and at the invitation of Jesus, gets to experience something that only Jesus can deliver. And that's because you and I, through faith, experience what only Jesus can deliver. Now, my wife and I, we are not native Oregonians. We moved here last April, just after Easter, coming up on a year now. And one of our favorite things to do in Southern California was go to vacation at a place called Forest Home. And Forest Home was a ton of fun for us because we have four little kids. At the time, we only had three. And they have this pool with the shallow end where our kids could play, and they had a splash zone. And Jackie and I, we could just sit on the side of the pool and soak up all the vitamin D, which unfortunately now we have to take in pill form. You can pray for us as we adjust to the Portland climate in Jesus' name. But as we were soaking up the sunshine, our kids were playing, and Joseph, our oldest, he was about four at the time, he was watching these older kids on the deep end as they jumped off the diving board into the water. And he started thinking, that looks really fun. I think I'm gonna try that. So Joseph, on his own, he walked over to the deep end, and he put his hands on the ladder and put his first foot up and froze. And he looked at the diving board and looked at the pool and looked at some of the older kids and took a step down and then walked back to the shallow end where we were. And as a dad, I was just about to say, Joseph, do you want to try again? And you know, don't give up. What happened? Before I could say a word, his little sister Jocelyn got up. She was about three at the time, and she started waddling over towards the deep end with her little arm floaties on. It was adorable to watch. And she waddled right up to the diving board, no hesitation, climbed the ladder, walked all the way out, and just headlong, arms stretched, plunged into the depths. She might as well have been worshiping Jesus, full surrender, no hesitation. And as she came up out of the water, she was smiling and laughing and giggling. And then she like paddled her way back over to the shallow and got out of the pool, walked all the way around and did it again and again and again. All the while saying to her older brother, Joseph, this is so much fun. Don't you want to join me? Why are you afraid? Well, Joseph was not having it. To him, this sounded like a taunt, right? He was not going to be bested by his little sister. So he got back up, walked over to the deep end, and this time he put not one foot, but both feet up on the ladder. Then he looked at the pool, he looked at the board, he looked at the older kids, and he froze. And then he stepped back down and walked back over to the shallow end. And this is where me as dad, I stepped in, and I said, buddy, do you want to jump off the diving board? And he said, yes, dad, I want to jump off the diving board, but it's too scary. I think the water's too deep. There's too many older kids, and I'm afraid. And I said, yes, Joseph, that's a lot of really scary things, but you know what? Would you come with me and jump off the diving board if I went with you? And he said, yes, I would. And I said, okay, buddy. So I grabbed his hand and we walked over and I said, here's the plan. I'm gonna climb up the ladder. You're gonna climb up right behind me. Then I'm gonna gracefully dive into the pool. I'm gonna turn around and then you're gonna jump in right after me. And if you need me, I'm gonna be there. I can catch you. It's gonna be fine. Are you ready? And he said, yes, I'm ready. So I said, okay. So I climbed up the ladder. He climbed up behind me. I jumped in and I turned around and there was Joseph. And this time he made it up the ladder and all the way down the diving board. And he was standing at the very edge and I saw him looking at the water. And I saw him looking at the older boys and I said, no, Joseph, look at me right here, buddy. Do you trust me? And he said, yes, daddy, I trust you. And I said, then jump. And he jumped into the water. And again, as he came up, I saw that he was smiling, beaming from cheek to cheek. And he was so proud. And it was one of those dad moments where you're just thinking, yes, like I did it, right? That was one of those special father-son moments. And in that moment of trust, Joseph experienced something that really, as his dad, only I could deliver. He went further than he could have gone on his own, further than he wanted to go, even though it was uncertain, even though it was unscary. He took a step and experienced something that really only I could deliver in that moment. And this is what Jesus does. This is what the miracle this morning is all about, that by faith, you and I experience something new that only Jesus can deliver. And if you're here, I believe we all want to experience this. Some of us may be wondering, who is it that helps us experience something bigger than ourselves, or what is that thing? Well, for us here, we believe it's Jesus, that Jesus is the one who invites us into that, and that this life of faith is incredibly important. And you may be wondering, why is faith so important to my journey in life? And there's a few reasons why faith is so important. Faith is important because the Bible says that we start a relationship with God through faith. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8, we're told that we are saved by grace through faith. In other words, we begin a relationship with God through faith and trust in Jesus. And then once we become Christians, we live our entire life by faith. Romans 1:17 says, the just or the righteous shall live by faith. And we also learn that we walk by faith and not by sight. Meaning, as Christians, our whole life is marked by one faith step after another. And the author of Hebrews goes so far as to say, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Meaning, if we want to experience the abundant life that Jesus came to bring us, that's a life lived by faith. And so faith is incredibly important to our journey. And then you may ask yourself, well, if faith is so important and it's by faith that we experience what only Jesus can deliver, how do I grow in faith? How can I grow in my faith so that I begin to experience these things that Jesus is inviting me into and calling me into? And that's what today's miracle is all about. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me. We're gonna be in the book of Matthew. It's the first book in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14. And we're gonna start reading in verse 22. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about it. The verses are gonna be up on the screen. But Matthew 14, verse 22, we read this. Now immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after Jesus dismissed him, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land and being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Then shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Well, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come onto the water with you. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on water and came toward Jesus. And when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat with him worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Now, if you brought a pen with you or something to take notes, we're gonna have three things that we're gonna look at today, three ways that you and I can grow in faith and as a result experience what only Jesus can deliver. And the first thing that we see in this text, the first way that we do that is by hearing the invitation. Everybody say invitation. You gotta hear the invitation. Peter wasn't walking on water as much as he was walking on an invitation. And to kind of understand the story, we have to back up and look at the context of what happened here. So the day before, Jesus and his disciples were working hard all day doing ministry. They were in a deserted place in the middle of nowhere, and there were thousands of people who showed up to hear Jesus teach, and there was no food. So Jesus took this boy's lunchbox with just a few pieces of bread and a few fish, and he multiplied it, and he fed thousands of people. And after an exhausting day of ministry, feeding the multitudes, the disciples, they try to get away to rest, but the crowds press upon them. So Jesus sends the disciples into a boat to the other side of the lake, away from the crowds, while he goes up on a mountain to pray. And we're told that while they're in the boat, a storm hits. And this storm is so severe that these men who were experienced fishermen by trade are terrified. And you have to wonder, okay, how big does a storm have to be for someone who's a fisherman by trade to be terrified, right? This isn't like when we go to Black Lake summer camp with the middle school students and we take the little rowboats out onto the lake and one of the middle schoolers starts rocking the boat back and forth. That's not what we're talking about. We're told they were being buffeted by the wind and the waves, being thrown around. And in the midst of this, they row all night. We're told that it's the fourth watch or just before dawn, meaning they've been up all night. They haven't had any sleep. This is when hands are blistered, when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're hungry, when all you want to do is retreat and rest, but you can't get out of it. And they're sleep deprived. Now, I'm a dad and I have twin girls, and I know what happens when you're sleep deprived. You start thinking crazy things. You start seeing stuff, right? And as they're looking out onto the water, they see what they think is a ghost or some apparition walking on the water, and they're all terrified. And Jesus, he's just walking from one end of the lake to the other. It doesn't even necessarily say that he was on his way to see the disciples. He's just walking by, walking on the water, doing his thing. And the disciples see and they cry out, "It's a ghost." And Jesus says, "No, it's Jesus. Guys, relax, it's me." And Peter looks out, and in that moment, he sees Jesus doing the miraculous. He sees Jesus doing something that only God can do. And something in Peter stirs up and says, "I'm gonna ask Jesus to invite me to participate in this. I feel like this is a moment where Jesus could invite me to experience something bigger than myself, something that only Jesus can do." And Peter says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out onto the water." And at that, Jesus gives the invitation to Peter. He says, "Peter, come." And at the invitation, Peter steps out of the boat and he begins to do what only Jesus can do. And he walks on water. He's walking on the invitation of Jesus. Now, it's one thing for us to say, okay, well, I would love if God would speak to me. And if I could hear the voice of God, I would love to just know exactly what he wants me to do with my life and tell me where to go and where to work and who to be with. But I don't know about you. I've never heard the audible voice of God. So how do we know and how do we grow in confidence that it's Jesus inviting us out? Because Peter, he didn't just take a bold move in a brash or foolish decision. He walked out at the invitation of Jesus. And I believe if any of the other disciples in this moment would have stepped out of the boat, they would have sank down to the bottom of the Sea of Galilee because Peter was the one who was invited and Peter was the one who stepped out. But we don't just step out on our own, right? We step out of the invitation of Jesus. So how do we grow in confidence to know that it's Jesus inviting us? Well, I think there's a few ways. The first way is to read the Bible. The Bible says, "Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God." So if we want to grow in faith, we read God's word, and in reading God's word, we hear the invitation. And sometimes we don't even need to necessarily pray about the next step because we already know what it is. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, you say, "We don't have to pray. What do you mean? We pray always without ceasing." Well, hear me out. If someone has wronged you and you have an opportunity to forgive, you don't need to sit there and say, "Jesus, do you want me to forgive this person?" No, because the Bible has already shared Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, that we're to be kind, tender-hearted, bearing with one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. So there's my invitation. I can forgive this person. I don't have to make them walk on eggshells or be deserving of it or wait until they say sorry. I can just forgive you freely in Christ because I've received that invitation. But there's some areas in life that are a little more gray, right? Where there seems to be different options and different choices. And it's not like there's the bad choice and the good choice. Well, I think I'm going to choose the good choice, right? But sometimes there's good and there's better and there's best. And how do I know which one is which? Well, this is where sometimes the invitation comes through prayer. Sometimes you got to pray and you got to ask God. This is where we share our heart with God and then ask him to give us his heart. "God, I don't know exactly what you're doing, but this is what I'm feeling, and here's who I know that you are, and here's what I know of your word, and I'm trying to navigate between these decisions. Lord, what do you want me to do? You're my shepherd. I'm your sheep. I hear your voice. I follow you. I'm growing in intimacy with you, Jesus. Where are you leading me? Where are you calling me? What is this going to look like?" And as you pray, Jesus will reveal those next steps, and you grow in confidence as you learn to hear his voice above the wind and the waves. It's kind of like when I take my kids to the bakery. I love taking my kids to the bakery, and because that's like an automatic win with kids. If you're like, "Hey, you want to go get cookies and donuts?" "Yes, please." So we go to the bakery a lot, and my kids get overwhelmed with the choices. If I just say, "Okay, look at all the pastries, pick one," they're going to be there all day, right? There just goes our whole day. So I give them options. I say, "Okay, Let me just narrow the choices for you. You can pick a cookie or a brownie. Either one is fine, but you decide. You can pick a cookie or a brownie. Now, if my kids in that moment started scratching their heads and filled with anxiety and their little hearts are restless, they start to wonder, what is the will of my father? What does he want me to do? If I pick the brownie and he has predestined me for the cookie, then all of a sudden I'm outside of God's will and everything's gonna fall apart. And what if he secretly wants me to have the brownie? And so if I pick the cookie, I'm not gonna be his favorite anymore. And maybe, you know, and it's just like, guys, I gave you two choices, cookie, brownie. Pick one. I'm okay with either. Just make the decision and trust me in the midst of it. Because otherwise, here's what I do. I overanalyze everything. God, is this really you? And what if it's not? And what if everything falls apart? Listen, our trust is in a person and his name is Jesus. And if you're trusting him and you're pursuing him and you're praying and you're in God's word and you are enjoying a relationship with Jesus, you can trust him with the outcome. You can trust him with the outcome. So sometimes you just gotta pray. Sometimes you read the Bible. Sometimes it's through community. I found anytime there's been a big step in my relationship with God where I've had to step out into the unknown, that was always a step in community. I find that God so often uses the people around me to help me navigate, to help me discern and hear God's voice. And sometimes for me, the first step away from God is a step away from his people. And the minute I step out of community, out of church, out of fellowship is the minute I start to make those foolish decisions on my own. But it's in community that I experience this abundant life that Jesus has for me. So often I hear the invitation when I'm just with God's people. And we're encouraging one another today and all the more as we see the day approaching. So we gotta learn how to hear the invitation of Jesus. This is one way that we can grow in faith so we experience what only Jesus can deliver. The second way that we can grow in faith and experience what only Jesus can deliver is to take the step. Everybody say, take the step. You gotta take the step. Once you hear the invitation, the next part is step out in faith. And sometimes it's obedience that's immediate. You know what it is, so why wait? And Peter, the minute he hears Jesus say, come, I want you to step out onto the water, he steps out right away. And he experiences something way bigger than himself. Peter took his step of faith in the midst of uncertainty. And often our first step out of the boat is in the midst of uncertainty. If we wait till all the circumstances align, until everything works out, until we feel comfortable with it, we will never step out of the boat. Listen, to follow Jesus where he has invited you to be, you must step out into uncertainty. And when you do, Jesus meets you in the midst of it. So if you're hearing an invitation, you're saying, I really feel like God's calling me to serve, but life's real busy right now. And maybe once I carve a few things out, or maybe once life settles down, or maybe then I'll start serving. Well, no, if you're hearing the invitation, step out in faith and trust God with the outcome. Or I really feel like God's inviting me to give, but there's this possibility of a raise in a few months. And so as soon as I get a raise and then we get some cash flow, well, then I'll start giving. But if you're hearing the invitation today, then don't wait, obey. Or, hey, I know I was reading the Bible and there's this whole verse about respecting my spouse and loving my spouse, but I'm kind of waiting for them to be respectable and then maybe I'll respect them. No, obey right now. You be the first one to break that cycle of being unloving and disrespectful and step in right now today. We don't have to wait to obey. We step out in the midst of uncertainty. Our responsibility is obedience and then we trust God with the outcome. That's all it is. That's all we can really do is, okay, God, I can't control the circumstances. They're beyond me. I can't control other people. I don't know what's gonna happen if I make this step. All I know is that right now, today, I can be obedient. And as I take this step, I'm just gonna trust you with all the ins and outs and I'm not gonna stay up all night being anxious. You tell me I can be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication, lift this up to you and trust you and you'll give me peace in the midst of the circumstance. I hear it so often and I say it so often that I'll say, I'd love to make this decision, but I'm waiting for Jesus to give me a peace about it. And anytime I hear that, I always think, but Jesus is our peace in the midst of it. I may not have a peace about it at all, but Jesus is my peace and I can take this step trusting him even if I don't know what's gonna happen. I don't think Peter was feeling like the wind and the waves were very peaceful because the minute he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. There was nothing peaceful about the circumstance. The peace was in Jesus, and he stepped out and kept his eyes on him in the midst of uncertainty. And as Peter's walking on water, everything's going well, and he's doing so well. It's like, Peter, you're doing it, buddy. You're walking on water. That's amazing. And in that moment, something in him kind of snaps back to reality, and he starts to think, hold on. Humans don't do this. So, like, humans don't walk on water. And he sees the waves again, and he's thinking, those are some big waves. And he starts looking at the wind, and he's thinking, that's some heavy wind, as though you can see wind, right? It's just not logical. And he begins to sink. And that's because when we step out in faith, when we take the step, the only way that that step is going to work out is if our eyes are firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the only way. When we look at Jesus, we become like him. Or another way to put that is this. You and I become what we behold. And when we take that step of faith and our eyes are on Jesus, we become brave, like Jesus is brave. We become courageous, like Jesus is courageous. Now, when my wife and I, we first heard about what was going on in this church last year, we were serving in San Diego, and we had been for a number of years doing youth ministry, and we found out what God was doing here, and something stirred up in our heart, and we just said, man, I think this is what God wants us to do. I think he wants us to sell everything and pack up our home and move to Oregon and Beaverton. Like, is this what you want us to do? And so we read the Bible, and we got in community, and we talked about it, and we prayed about it, and there were a lot of uncertainties. Well, what about our kids? What about school? What about our family that's still in San Diego? You know, what about our home situation? How are we gonna sell the home in time? How's all of these things gonna work out? But at the end of the day, we had to look at each other and say, is Jesus inviting us to go to Beaverton? Yes. Are we excited about it? Yes. Is there an opportunity for God's kingdom to expand? Yes, this is exactly what God wants us to do. And we didn't wait till every I was dotted and every T was crossed and we felt good about it. We took the step and trusted God every day along the way. And now we see the fruit of it. Now we see, okay, I'm experiencing something now that only Jesus could have delivered. And sometimes that's how it is. We have to take the step of faith in the midst of uncertainty with our eyes fixed on Jesus. This is how we feed our faith and starve our fears, by keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The third way that you and I can grow in our faith and experience what only Jesus can deliver is to point to Jesus. Point to Jesus. Everybody say, point to Jesus. Got to point to Jesus. We hear the invitation, we take the step, and then we point back to Jesus. This one's fun for me because I want you to just put yourself in the story. Have some fun with the Bible. Put yourself in the story. Imagine you're in the boat and you just witnessed Jesus walk on water. And not only that, but your close friend, like just think of one of your close friends, they're in the boat with you. Your close friend just got out of the boat and walked on water. And you're like, man, I know Bill. Bill's never done anything like that before. That's pretty amazing. Bill gets back into the boat. Now, if I'm the disciples, I'm at least giving that guy a high five. Or maybe some knuckles at the very least. Like, can we at least acknowledge what he just did, please? Like, if I was one of the disciples, I'd say, Peter, that was amazing. You just walked on water. No one's ever done that before. That was insane. Let's celebrate that a little bit. The disciples, Peter gets in the boat. He's probably like soaking wet. They look at Peter and then they turn their back on Peter and they look to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, truly you are the Son of God. And they worship him. Now, I think that's amazing. And here's what I think that means. When you and I take that step of faith and we attempt what only Jesus can accomplish, it brings God glory. The glory goes to him and it points to Jesus, because you're doing something that only Jesus can do, so it gives him all the glory. This is when we can't forget that when we hear the invitation, we take the step of faith, we got to point to the source. Or in other words, give credit where credit's due and say, hey, that was Jesus that just did that in your life. I saw you forgive that person instead of fleshing out and getting super angry. All glory to God. That was incredible. Or, hey, I saw you take that step of faith and that initiative when it seemed like you were going through some really hard, difficult personal stuff, but you had joy in the midst of it. All glory to Jesus. That's incredible. And this is where we learn to share our story and give him the glory. Learn to share your story and give God the glory. Listen, if God has rescued you, be a rescuer and go and tell somebody about it. If God's healed your marriage, go and share it with somebody. Go tell somebody what God has done for you. If you were in a dark spot and Jesus gave you joy and hope and peace, go tell someone about it. Share your story and give him glory, because this is where we get to invite other people in to experience what you've experienced. If you've experienced something at the invitation of Jesus that only he could have done in your life, go and tell the world about it. Go tell someone so that they too can hear and learn to give Jesus glory. Because we exist for really two reasons, to know Jesus and make him known. And this is that making Jesus known part. That when we learn to elevate the faith stories, because every one of you has a faith story this morning. There's something in your life that only Jesus could do. There's something in your life that you were praying, you were asking God in faith, and you felt this nudge on your heart and you did it and God showed up. And maybe it didn't even look like the way that you thought it would, and maybe there's still heartbreak and maybe there's hurt in the midst of it, and spoiler alert, that's next week's sermon. But either way, you can still point to Jesus in the midst of it and say, God is good, God is faithful, and this is what he's done in my life, and this is my story, and I'm gonna give him glory. What's Jesus done in your life? Who in your life can you share it with? Now, with these things, if these things are true in your life, if you're hearing the invitation, if you're taking steps, and if you're pointing to Jesus, I think there's some very clear applications for us this morning. These are some things that I've thought about for my own life and that I want to encourage you with. They're just some questions for you to maybe take away this week and think through, how does this message apply to your life? And I see just a few ways that maybe you could think about applying this. The first one is just a question. How will you hear the invitation of Jesus this week? What will that look like for you? Maybe for you, it's carving out some time in the morning to just open up your Bible. And hey, if faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God, I want to start in the Word of God. And if you already read your Bible, great, maybe consider reading it twice a day. Or if you don't read it at all, I would encourage you just read it once this week and watch God bless it. But maybe you need to take some time to read. Maybe for you, it's just carving out some good time to pray. Maybe for you, it's grabbing your spouse or grabbing a friend and saying, hey, let's carve out some time together to just be still, drown out all the rest of the noise, eliminate the distractions, and say, Jesus, what are you inviting me to do this week? Because God's always working. He's always doing something, and he's always inviting us into it, and we want to hear it. So how will you hear the invitation of Jesus this week? What's that going to look like? Write that down. The second thing I want you to consider, and it's a question, when can you make time to read or pray this week? When can you make time to read or pray this week? And then what uncertainty do you need to trust Jesus in? What uncertainty do you need to trust Jesus in? This is when you hear the invitation, you know what you're supposed to do, but you're thinking, yeah, but this obstacle. That sounds hard. That sounds difficult. I don't know how that's going to work out. There's too many unknowns. What's the uncertainty you need to trust Jesus in? Because with every invitation, there's always a yeah, but attached to it. And it's the faith and the trust in Jesus that's going to get you through it. So write that down. I think in writing it down, you'll be able to focus in on an area in your life where you need to see breakthrough, where you're not going to let that challenge be the thing that stops you from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus has for you anymore. Write it down. This is the specific thing that I'm uncertain about that could potentially stop me from connecting to the very thing that God wants to do in my life. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to share it with somebody. I'm going to be held accountable for it. What's the uncertainty you need to trust Jesus in? And then the next question that I want you to think about, what's your next step? What's your next step? We all have a next step to play in this. I think maybe for some of us, our next step could be that from here on out, we're gonna say that between now and Easter, which is April 1st, we're gonna invite someone to Easter. That would be a great next step, to share your story and invite someone into what God's doing here at BCC. And maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's somebody on your kid's team or in their class, or just pray about, God, who do you want me to invite Easter for? Our Easter service is just a few weeks away. This would be an amazing way for you to apply this message. Take that step of faith and invite them to church. Most people, if you invite them, will come. They will. They're just waiting for an invitation. So think about that. Who am I going to invite to the Easter service? That's an easy win. For some of you, it could be baptism. Maybe you recently gave your life to the Lord, or maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but you know that your next step is baptism. And we have a baptism coming up for our Rooted celebration that could be an amazing opportunity for you to identify with Jesus and what he's doing in your life. And you can find more information about that on our website or in the atrium in the lobby on your way out, if you know that baptism's your next step. Another opportunity could be for you to start serving. If you've been walking with the Lord and you're plugging into church here and you're thinking, man, I'd love to start serving. As we saw in the video from Blessing and Favor, kids ministry is an amazing place for you to start serving. Or if you love middle school and high school students, come hang out with me on the weekend. We're on a Wednesday night with our high school ministry. We'd love to have you plug into your passion and discover the gifts and the calling that God has on your life and just begin to serve in really simple, practical, tangible ways right here at BCC. We would love to help connect you to your next step in serving. And for some of you, it could be community. We believe that life change happens in the context of meaningful relationship. And one of the ways that we do meaningful relationship around here is we get out of rows and into circles and rooted. And Rooted is a 10-week opportunity for you to grow with other people and kind of learn the patterns and the rhythms of life. It connects you to God, to the church, and to your purpose. And Rooted is an awesome way to get with other Christians and talk about these very things. Man, what's Jesus inviting us to do, both individually and corporately and as a church? Where are we going? What's God up to? You get to do this in the context of meaningful relationship with other Christians. For some of you, community might be an incredible next step. So think about those things and pray with me and ask God, God, what would you have me do? Hear the invitation of Jesus. Take the step of faith. Trust God with the outcome. Then point back to Jesus and give him all the glory. Amen? Amen.